3, 2, 1, go!
To the Triad of the Fours podcast, a podcast from Puerto Rican friends coming together to do deep dives into Star Wars and other nerd-related media. These are our Batch Fridays, where we talk about every episode from Bad Batch Season 2, today focusing on the amazing duology, Episodes 7 and 8, The Clone Conspiracy, yes, and Truth and Consequences. But before we get into that, we would like you to remind you to like what? And subscribe. Yeah, a little glitch. Yes. I'm a little glitchy.
Little
it's
glitch.
Okay.
It was a little glitch. You're in law
we
school
would like
today.
To
it's okay.
Remind you to like and subscribe the humble little channel that is the Triad, and to sure. Follow mm-hmm. as well our amazing guests for today, Hope Mullinex from For Light and Dice. Welcome to the Triad.
Welcome.
I'm so happy to be here.
We're so happy to have you.
We were just saying
Jinx,
before.
Minnesota.
We were saying before, like I've been, I feel like I've been screaming at you guys through Twitter for so long, but to actually be able to talk to you is like really exciting. So
it's so it's actually
something else.
It's the same thing. I'm always like thinking of like to include you like in the scheduling, but somehow it hasn't worked. So I'm very happy that like we finally, you know, we will get our ducks in a row and like get you, you know, here. And like, what a coincidence that the date that we were able to schedule was this amazing duology of episodes,
right? Like, because like it was before we even had the titles, so you're just like, pick a date, right. And I was like, I don't know, February.
This one looks fine.
And it was these two episodes, and I was like, oh my god!
Lo and behold, amazing! And
holy crap! But before we get going into like the mind blowingness that is these episodes, let's get to know you a little bit, Hope. Again, we're so happy that you're joining us. Always a dear friend on the Twitterverse, one of the great, positive, lovely voices. Aww. in that stratosphere that we, you know, we really, really enjoy. So again, blessed to have you. So let's get to know you a little bit. I know, and most people know that you're a big advocate of like Star Wars animation. But why don't you tell us a little bit more about, like, what's your Star Wars journey? Like, did you actually start watching Star Wars through animation, or did you kind of, like, some of us discovered films through the original trilogy and then found, you know, your path into animation? Tell us, tell us that story.
First of all, you're way too sweet. Because I'm actually Aww. Secretly an asshole.
No. We all are.
Okay. I mean,
only to the people who deserve it. Only to the people,
right?
And that's okay.
So I actually did watch Star Wars growing up because, like, my mom was a nerd. She was actually more of a Trekkie, and that's the biggest disappointment to her is that I never got into Star Trek.
Okay,
that's the only way she's ever been disappointed at me. But like, I watched it growing up, and I liked it, but I didn't like love it. The first Star Wars I saw in movie theaters was The Phantom Menace, so it does always have like a little nostalgic place in my heart for me, and I love it. But I didn't actually really start loving Star Wars until I actually saw Clone Wars in movie theaters when I was in college.
Oh,
and
damn.
So watching Ahsoka Tano on the big screen just like changed my life. Like, there's a reason I have an Ahsoka tattoo on my arm. And so much of it was like, I liked Leia and Padme, but they were always mm-hmm. like such perfect characters that I didn't feel like I could see myself in them. Mm-hmm. And right out of the gate, Ahsoka was flawed and she was messing up. And I was like, I'm flawed and I'm in college and changing majors and I don't know mm-hmm. what I'm doing with my life either. And I just connected with her on a level. And animation is my favorite medium anyway. Mm-hmm. So I did then. I still feel like now that Star Wars really thrives best in animation.
Mm-hmm.
Which is probably, you know, controversial, but I love it. I then really watched, I watched Clone Wars all throughout college, and then it's helped mm-hmm. me through some of my hardest times in my life. I would always go back to Ahsoka, and then lo and behold, it was, she's back in Rebels, and mm-hmm. then I watched mm-hmm. Rebels yes. Resistance, and I love all Star Wars animation, and that's what, like, really, like, made me go from like I like Star Wars to no, I love Star Wars, and mm-hmm. it was animation that made me a fan. So, and I've been a advocate for it ever since. So,
Awesome. And what makes for you animation like a better medium for Star Wars storytelling than the live action stuff?
I a lot of it is that you don't have to worry about the, I guess the practicality is the best way of putting it. Like, you don't have to worry, like, look at something like Resistance. Like, you can walk into Aunt Z's diner and have like 20 different aliens and they all exist and you don't have to worry about like makeup and setting or the volume or anything like that. You don't have to worry about the practical effects. Like, Anakin just can parkour down a mountain and it's fine. And you don't have to worry about killing an actor. And you don't have to worry about like Ahsoka's like mantras in live action and stuff like that. Like, things can just exist. That's something, because like we're currently rewatching Obi-Wan Kenobi right now for my my other podcast. And it's just, there's like no aliens except for on like Dayu. And it's just so visually boring to look at. When and I love like seeing aliens and like they can just exist in animation. Like, you can, you have these beautiful crowd shots and like the episode Faster and Bad Batch. Like, when you look at the crowd and it's like 12 different kinds of character models and they're all different. It's just so much more visually pleasing. And you can just do all this cool stuff in animation that you just can't do in live action. And I feel like Star Wars just thrives. Like when you take the Siege of Mandalore, that final episode when Ahsoka's running as the ship is crashing, you could never do that in a live action and have it look that good. So
I agree.
Right. Yeah, absolutely true. Then, like, especially with lore stuff, and especially like now in this like Disney era, I think that the live action stuff, I will agree with that, that has been more restrained in terms of like presenting new concepts and being weird, right, for lack of a better word, with like all the Force, like World Between Worlds, you would never see that in live action.
Because
in live action you have to worry about, and I use this term lovingly, you have to worry about the normies, right, that are coming in and to Star Wars, and like they have to have a familiar world, and you know, in animation you can kind of get away with introducing all these weird things because of the episodic nature, because the audience is a little, you know, different from all the live action things. Animation kind of thrives for sure and has that advantage.
Well, and people who are watching animation are kind of used to and are expecting things to get a little bit weirder, for it to be riskier, for them to go and think outside of the box. And you can get away with a lot more story beats and a lot more storytelling through animation than you do in live action a lot of the times. And the world just seems bigger too.
Yes. You would never get a Zillow Beast in live action because the normies would be like, why is Godzilla here?
Very true. And I think one of the really beautiful things of Star Wars animation is seeing kind of the evolution of it. I mean, you were mentioning like that original Clone Wars movie. And I will admit that I didn't see that Clone Wars movie until like fairly recently, after being spoiled with like all the evolution of the animation that Clone Wars has had. But it's kind of, it's still kind of like awesome to kind of go back and see season one and then go up to seasons, even to now Bad Batch, and see how that animation style began as like one thing. And it's now something that's completely,
so much more,
completely different. It's the same, you know, character models in the sense that it's the same design, but in terms of like the animation of it, it's miles, miles away. And it's beautiful to see that, especially with this episode, looking at Chuchi, like she just, it's the same character, but she just looks, incredible. Like her, like so her golden tiara, whatever, headdress or whatever, like you could see like the blemishes and the gold and everything. Like, you look at like the what season was she in, like five, I think, or
she
four
was in season one, and then she was again in season four. I literally just wrote about this. She's, for her first appearance is season one in Trespass, and I think Sphere of Influence is in season four.
Okay, I wasn't completely wrong. Thank you. And cool. Even though I kind of threw a couple numbers out there to see which one would land. But you see that, it's incredible. And it's an evolution that it's kind of, I don't know, kind of heartwarming to see, like, we're growing up with the animation.
And it's so exciting getting all sorts of stuff like now, like with Star Wars Visions too. I am so stoked for season two, like, and to see what all the different studios bring to it. Like, I have no idea what a South African Star Wars will look like, and I want to see it
But I'm
so
looking forward
bad,
to
right?
that.
And to hear Cartoon Saloon is doing one, like they are
Mm-hmm.
like the Ghibli of Europe. And I'm so excited because I feel like Visions is really pushing the limit of what Star Wars animation can even look like. Like the first season was great, but I feel like season two is just going to blow it out of the water.
I think so too, and I was really, really excited for season two, because when season one came out, that one of the things that we always talked about was like, oh, what does I mean, we've seen what Star Wars looks like under, you know, the Japanese style and like all the anime and like that Japanese mythos, right, of the samurai. We've seen that and it's awesome, don't get me wrong. But what does Star Wars look like in the mythos of another country with their styles? And so when all of a sudden like volume two is announced or season two is announced, and then they do that thing that we were asking for, like other cultures in other countries, like, oh my
I'm
God,
so excited.
this
It's
is
gonna be so good.
incredible. And the thing I hope for it, obviously I do like the non-canon aspect of it, and that can just live on its own, but I do hope that it somehow informs, like, you know, as the, you know, a circle of life, so to speak, and that it kind of informs canon, then we can see some of those elements. Because I'm most excited for like the South American, I think it's the studios from Argentina or Chile, I forgot. But kind of see all that, as you know, as a Latinx, as Latinx community, like I want to see like that culture be injected back into Star Wars and be kind of like that mainstream. So really, really excited for that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like I am I would love to see a lot of that come back into canon. Like for example, I love Dan and Tajin from The Elder of season one, and I want them in Star Wars and not just in my like High Republic fan fiction.
Very
Like I
true.
actually want them in canon, so
And speaking of High Republic, why don't you tell us a little bit? Because I know you're also a big fan of the High Republic, and your podcast is called what was your for correct me.
For
I've
light
just
and
blanked that.
diced.
For Light and Dice. Sorry about that. It's been a day. So why don't you tell us
It's fine.
a little bit about that? Because you know, High Republic is it's here and it's thriving. We just got that announcement of Young Jedi Adventures. So we got like a lot of content. Nubs, we're living for
I'm
Nubs. This is a
so
Nubs podcast
excited.
from today. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
I'm so excited for Young Jedi Adventures. I'm gonna watch that preschool show so hard. I'm so excited for it. So For Light and Dice is a project that me and two of my friends, it was Charles from Gold Squadron Gaze and Chris from Dark Side Divas. And we had been musing about it for a while now. We wanted to do a tabletop role-playing podcast using Star Wars 5th Edition. But the thing that we really wanted is we wanted all the players to be queer. And so our entire podcast is made up of queer individuals, and we started looking for other players, and we ended up finding Jess from Rupalp's Pod Race, and then Nathan and Colton, who don't have podcasts, but they both should, because they're both excellent people. And the six of us got together, and we decided to set our game in the middle of the High Republic, because it's just such a queer and progressive story time in Star Wars as well. And so we made a group of adventurers who are going along on the Phantasmal Squonk. And if anybody asks, we didn't mean to kill all the people we accidentally did. It was not our fault. But it is a real play tabletop podcast. We're really rolling dice. And we don't know where the adventure's going. And we're going on this trek. And it's so much fun. We just started the second story arc. So, and we might have just met a certain Jedi who might be, friends with Stellan and Avar. We might have just rescued him.
Oh,
And now he's with us.
that sounds interesting there.
Yeah, so we're having a lot of fun. It's definitely an adult. One of our characters is a Jizz Whaler, which is canon, actually. Jizz is
Oh,
a
yes.
mu musical thing that George Lucas came up with. But yeah, we're a bunch of crazy characters, and we're going on adventures, and it's a lot of fun, and I'm very proud of For Light and Dice, so please go check
That
it out.
sounds really, really
It
cool.
sounds
And
amazing.
one of those things that I really, really appreciate of the High Republic is that not just is it like a wonderful publishing effort. I mean, I really enjoyed all the books and the comic books. And again, the representation on it is amazing, but I think one of the better things is, I mean, obviously that, but it's the community, because all the High Republic online community that I've seen, it's very, you know, joyful and welcoming, accepting, and it's full of love. So that's something that we desperately need, I think, like in the rest of the Star Wars community and all communities as a whole, just to have acceptance and love. So it's really nice to really have that in such a powerful way with the High Republic. So keep doing what you're doing, because it's beautiful, and we appreciate it. That's for sure.
Right. You're making it sound like I wrote the High Republic. Like, yes, well, I will keep doing it.
We are all, we are, you know, for light and life, you know, we're all in it together. You know, it's, yes, it's the power of community.
It really is. I'm sadly very far behind on phase two, but I do love it, because I've been writing like a High Republic fan fiction for about 2 years now, and I wouldn't do it if I didn't love it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I have my thoughts on, not negative, but I have my thoughts on phase two. But we'll leave that for another episode. We'll do a High Republic focused episode.
Yes, no spoilers.
The Bad Batch.
Yeah. But yes, for those of you that are still listening and hoping to hear some Bad Batch stuff, we're gonna get into it right now. But before we get going to the duality of these two episodes, that's redundant. If it's a duality, it's two episodes. Never mind. Hope, what have you thought of season two of the Bad Batch thus far before these two episodes came out?
Unlike what everybody says, I love it. They're not filler. I will fight anybody who's been saying these episodes are filler. I will fight them. Tooth and nail. I've loved this season. I think they're really executing the plot and the direction and the themes very well. This whole idea of exploring who are the clones once their purpose is complete, and what are their paths after that.
Right.
And I feel like every episode has, in some way, shape, or form, looked at that idea. Whether it's like Tech finding a hobby in Faster, to them choosing to go on an adventure with V. You know, they didn't go because Sid told them. They chose it for themselves. And
such a good episode. I love it.
I love it too. And so I really have been enjoying like this idea of like exploring who they are as people once their purpose is done. When they're not tools of the Empire and the Republic anymore. They're actual people, which is something that was explored in this episode. And I love it, especially like my boy Tech has been getting so much time, and I love him.
I know. And I would say Tech didn't just get a new hobby, because he kind of saved their lives with his little Fast and the Furious, you know, powers here in this episode. So
it's a character growth, one would say.
If you want to hear me get really raunchy and steamy, I was on Gold Squadron Gaze when they talked about that episode, and I definitely talked about his gear shift and how great it is.
Oh, Lord.
I love Tech. He is my favorite, and that was like the best episode for reasons I'm sure I can't talk about now.
If you feel it's necessary, go for it. We will not stop you.
I won't go there on the show. Not again.
Spicy's always good. There's always room for seasoning everywhere.
But it's so funny though, because the person that we talked to during for Faster episode also Tex is their favorite character. So I think Tech is getting a lot of love.
Tech has a fan club.
Well deserved love.
I mean, he was always my favorite. Like I like how he's like neurodivergent coded. Which is something like I really relate to and stuff like that. He actually reminds me a lot of Entrapta from She-Ra, in the new She-Ra and stuff like that. So I always love like those kind of like nerdy characters like him. So like he's been my favorite since the beginning. So I'm just so happy that he's getting a lot more love this season.
I think so too, because I think as much as I enjoyed Bad Batch season one, I think that one of the shortcomings of it was that there wasn't a lot of development for most of the Bad Batch, with the exception of like Hunter. I think like he got a lot of that development, and some of the other ones was like, hey, okay, well, we're here. And this season we've gotten kind of some really good story beats for the other ones, particularly Crosshair and Tech. So really excited to see lot more of that.
And Echo.
Oh my God. But I didn't want to touch Echo yet, because he kind of broke my heart in the second episode. But for the better, I hope. And we'll get to it. But what was your reaction to these two episodes?
So
that was mine as well.
Yeah, I just...
That says it all.
I mean, It all started like when I opened my Disney Plus and I saw the little thumbnail and I saw Rio Chuchi, who is like one of my favorite Clone Wars characters of all time. And I screamed and then I immediately got scared because I was like, what if she dies?
It's like, don't do this
Don't
to me,
say
please.
So I was
that.
so happy to see Rio again and to essentially like see her like stepping into Padme's role. Like she just started off as this like tentative young senator, and now she's essentially like taking on what Padme and Mon Mothma does, and it's just so interesting to. I love watching her grow. I love watching Bail Organa just being like, "Do you want to maybe low key join my rebellion?" And they were just both episodes just felt like such a culmination of everything the season has been working towards. Because with the Batch, we've been exploring these themes of who are they outside of their programming, but we haven't really tackled that with the regular clones. And these two episodes just like made that veteran clone and Obi-Wan hit so much harder.
I know.
But what did you guys think of these two episodes?
Nani, you go first because I've been talking too much.
Well, since I'm kind of terrible at following social media and everything, I didn't know that we were getting two episodes at the same time. So when I turned on my Disney Plus last night and I always watch the episodes with Josbando, he's like, did we skip an episode? Because there's like two out. I was like, wait, no, we haven't skipped any. We get two? Oh my
That's probably my
God.
fault. Yeah.
So we were really excited. And for a while, I've been saying that I kind of miss those mini arcs from the Clone Wars because they give you a little bit extra than just the single episodes. So I was really excited. It hit really hard. It made me feel like I was back in the Clone Wars. The animation, as we've said before, just keeps getting better. The soundtrack is insane. And I was just not really expecting it because we had seen, from the other clones, what's been happening, as you said, Hope, and we got it from, Captain Cody when we had him back, and to see like how some of the regs are starting to turn, but to see some completely unknown clones just being unable to reconcile how they destroyed their own homes and somehow that's still okay. And that conversation when they're like, well, we were just following orders. Well, if it was orders, why are they secret? And it's them coming to terms with everything that's been going on around them and being in denial about the fact that they are gonna have to retire at some point. It's like I don't know what to do because we are soldiers. That is what we do. There's no way this bill is gonna pass. Like in complete denial when Chuchi tries to explain to them, like, this is happening. I have to try to get you the best result that I can because this is happening. And then when she finally understands that, oh, it's not that they're trying to get decommissioned, it's that they destroyed Kamino, and it wasn't just, the cloning facilities. It was cities of women, children, families, and it was just utter destruction. And for her to slowly realize that and start to decide to take action right away, it's like, oh, no, I'm not just going to sit in the Senate and wait for it to happen. I'm going to take action, find contact, make this move forward. And it was so good to see that proactiveness. And then obviously, when we get Captain Rex, which I was not expecting.
Especially without his armor, right?
I know.
Love his new outfit. It's so
I
good.
know. It was so strange. When he first approached, I thought we're gonna get Captain Cody again because it kind of made sense. Like he just left and
I
to
could see
try to
that.
like find the path to
Oh,
maybe
that's
help other
interesting.
clones. But then when it was Rex, like, oh, thank you. I love you so much. It's so good to have you. And I really love that they go to, Trace and Rafa's garage.
Justice. Yes, I love that I'm a Martez sister fighter like forever, and they're not even in the episode and their
I know.
importance is still there.
I know, but just being there, I feel like we got the essence of them anyway. I know a good place to hide. They're gonna be fine with it. So it would have been extra good if they would have shown up in the episode, but I think it's still enough. And maybe a hint
I
that
just
they're
like
gonna
how they
show up
dropped it with
later,
the if you
maybe.
know you know attitude. It's just like if you know you know.
It's like
These are two badass women.
all you people who are like haters of the Martez sisters, look who's still here. Look
And
who's
they
still
ain't going
around.
nowhere. They're not going nowhere. But I agree. Like we've been talking about, the show just keeps visually looking more stunning and more stunning with each passing episode.
Got the
but
Imperial Senate.
But that's the thing. That's the thing. Well, one, we are living like in the Renaissance of Coruscant, and I'm loving it. Like all media, it's like with Andor, we got to go back to Coruscant, and but it was interesting because I like how they're framing Coruscant thematically different in Andor versus Bad Batch, because in Andor, it's like you're deep in the Empire. It's not in like the post-Republic days. You're
And it
already
kind of
deep in
looks
the
really
Empire.
bleak.
In the era of the Imperial Stormtrooper, right? As Papa Pop said. So
Palpatine.
it's the brutalist aesthetic. There's no color, there's no joy, right? In the Coruscant
Very
of Andor.
uniform, yeah.
But then Bad Batch, when we get that establishing shot, and it looks so cinematic, it looks like so epic in scope. But it's the Coruscant of episode two, like the neon art deco, beautiful, aesthetic. That's just like, just brings warm feelings to my heart, because it just reminds me of a young goose watching Attack of the Clones in the movie theater for the first time and being like, oh crap, this is amazing. And like have that like aesthetic of Coruscant, like return to that prequel era feeling. It's just it's incredible. And it just looked almost it looked just like the movie the next time, because when we see the Senate building, I was just like, damn, this just looks ripped out of I was gonna say Return of the Jedi, out of Revenge of the Sith. And it looks just as good. It was just incredible. But then to keep the thematic thing with Attack of the Clones going, have that whole noir setting. So, you're like in this like neo-noir thing, kind of Blade Runner, which is a lot of smoke and daggers, smoke, lots of shadows and mystery and like what's gonna happen, and exploring the conspiracy, which obviously it's called the Clone Conspiracy, so obviously. But to kind of have that in that show was like really special, because again, it shows the flexibility of what animation can do and just like diving into different genres. It's just like, it doesn't have to just be like the space opera, or it doesn't have to be like a swashbuckling adventure or an Indiana Jones romp like we just got, but it can also be like a,
Getting a little bit of everything.
a super super adult dark, and I don't like using the word adult, but it fulfills a definition, but getting that more serious thematic dark element of the mystery was something that was so unexpected but welcome and fresh, even though
Oh,
like we've
yeah.
seen that before. But to kind of break the episodes up till now in the season in that way, you have the racing episode and everything's been different. All of a sudden, like now we're in the mid-season, and it's like, okay, no, you thought you knew what was coming, but you don't know.
So interesting thing about that. I think outside of like one or two shots, we've seen everything in the trailers. Like there's only I think like one shot and then one shot from the Celebration trailer is stuff we haven't seen yet, which means what the heck is gonna happen in the back
Is
half?
coming now.
Like
Yes,
what are they
yes.
hiding in the
They're
back
hiding
half
the
of the
good stuff.
show?
They're getting the good stuff, because if they hit Bail Organa, and I forgot her name from Rogue One. I mean, we got a lot of surprises
Paul?
in this. I'm terrible remembering names, so everyone corrects me with the name, so I apologize. But with all those surprises, it's like, and this was the mid-season, it's just like that means that like what's coming, it's gonna be out of this galaxy. And so I'm ready for it. But Papa Palpatine, we knew he was coming. We knew he was coming. We saw him in the trailer, and he was beautifully voiced once again by Ian McDiarmid. And not to discredit some of the voice actors that have come before him to do the Papa Palps in Clone Wars and Rebels. No, Rebels, I think, was Ian as well, I think.
It was, yeah, because Sam Witwer had it up until the first episode of Rebels, and then Ian McDiarmid took over, and then they went back and
And
re-recorded
redubbed
over
it. Yeah,
Sam.
right. Almost forgot. But
Well, I
and
wasn't really
Clone
expecting
Wars.
it this one. When you see him like rise and then the voice, it's like,
Right.
oh my
So good.
And
You
his
can
body was
feel
like,
him having fun, right? He's like,
yeah.
I am
And what were
Palpatine.
you saying, Hope?
Oh, I was just like, and he comes in like on the siren too. It has this like, it should be like a fanfare because it's like, oh, the Emperor is here, but it's almost like a warning siren, and the entire tone just shifts because you see like Bail and Rio just like look at each other, and Rampart just immediately stands at attention, and it's
Well,
he's
especially
so
because
good.
when you showed the Imperial Senate like through the eyes of Omega, when Chuchi's like showing it to her, so it just looks like this wondrous place where people can be heard and voice their opinions, and and just this grandiose thing. And then when it's like Palpatine coming down from the floor, it's just like this
It
ominous, like,
changes completely.
oh, here we go. Okay. How's he
Yeah.
gonna flip this one now?
So,
which is
to be
exactly what he did. He was just waiting down there for this to happen exactly the way it did, so that he could make this announcement. I mean,
he's got
always
plan on
know
top of
that
plan.
He's like, you always know that, but you still don't really expect it, because I remember the whole time, ever since they started announcing, you know, the bill to start doing stormtroopers, I said, well, we know we do get the stormtroopers. Like, this happens. And then in this one, where it's the whole plan, how they're going to sabotage. And I kept thinking, well, how are they going to fail? Are they not going to be able to break into the ship? Are they going to get there and it turns out that the plans are destroyed? Are they going to make it all the way to the Senate and the recording is something else completely different? So I was expecting all of these like sabotages to happen. And then you get the amazing screen, like in the Imperial Senate, of the destruction of Kamino with, you know, and you can see like the Senate seats through the shot, and it looks so amazing. It's like, oh my God, they actually pulled it off. Palpatine.
Right.
They followed orders too faithfully. They can't be trusted. Bye.
It's so good. It's so good, because that's, again, the power of storytelling. Like, you know, like you said, you know that obviously the Imperial Stormtroopers will happen, because we know that. That's obviously prequels. You know what's going to happen. But the whole episode is framed in a way that it looks like they're going to be victorious, and you forget. So, like, in the back of my mind, I'm like, oh, they did it. The victory. Yeah. So, yeah, they're going to defeat the bill. So, somehow the Stormtroopers are going to happen in some other
later
way.
Later on, but yeah.
But to see that that's a version, oh, my God, incredible. Sorry, Hope, what were you going to say?
Oh, no, you're fine. One of the things is, like, when I was laughing, when you were saying, like, what if it was something else, I just immediately thought of, like, Rampart singing in the shower, just being played. That was the first thing that came to my head.
It's like, oops. That's
that
the
been
recording
good.
You were looking for.
That would have been great, though. But no. What was I about to say? Oh no, my brain. Oh no,
Rampart,
brain.
Rampart.
No, it was prior to that. Well, I'll just go back to something else I was going to say. Something I was really impressed with was actually, this episode reminded me so much of Heroes on Both Sides from Clone Wars, because that was the episode where Padme was showing Ahsoka politics. And so it did feel a lot like that, with Omega learning it. But something that I really appreciated was Omega starting to kind of like wrap her mind around, of just like, wait, we don't have representation as clones. You know,
where's the
voices,
clone representative? Oh, nope.
Yeah, like, we don't have a voice. And so something that I genuinely wanted to ask you to, because this is not something I know about. It kind of did remind me about how, like, Puerto Rico is not being represented in our government. And I just was wondering if your thoughts on that kind of connection.
Yeah. Well, as we were watching it, Josbando literally said, oh, look, Puerto Ricans are the clones. The only difference is we kind of have a voice, because we do have a representative there that can speak, but we can't vote on anything. And, you know, the representative kind of represents a corrupt government to begin with. So there's not much voice there. Right. But it was interesting. As soon as it happened, I was like, okay, that hits home a little hard.
No, and I really appreciate you bringing it up, Hope. Because actually, it's funny, because I try to be like a knife, you know, and I'd be able to catch those things and be able to slice them. But I actually had not caught that. So thank you to both of you for bringing that up, because holy, I was going to come at it like from a different perspective, especially I was going to come at it from the State of the Union address perspective, and like how, you know, these people are supposed to represent us and are like in this, you know, hallowed hall, are really, you know, out there only for corporate corporate benefits, you know, because, well, that's a cool thing at the beginning of the Senate scenes. It's like the people that are talking first are the corporations, the banking clan, and I forgot who the other person was. I forgot. But then the people that are kind of defending the people are, you know, Chuchi, and then my homeboy Bail Organa. So you kind of see the diverging interests there. It's like, are we actually advocating for the people, or are we advocating for business interests?
The companies.
So I was going to come at it that way, even though it's still relevant, right? But like the whole Puerto Rico angle, it's beautiful because we are a Puerto Rican podcast. And it's kind of worse than that to an extent, because we, like Nani said, we do have representation, but we don't have a vote. And it goes even farther than that, because it's just, it's almost... I kind of even prefer to not even have that voice there, because it's like, that's just, you know, it's one of those.
Like, what are you
like
there dangling. For, just window dressing?
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's like dangling that carrot. It's just like, okay, well, here you go, little people. You get to say your piece. At the end of the day, we don't care. We don't get to vote for the president here. We don't get to have any say. And right now, Puerto Rico is under the control of a federal fiscal control board who gets to decide mm-hmm. what does and doesn't happen in this island. And right now, they're having a resolution to increase taxes on the power consumption of the island. I think it's a $13 surplus on what people are already paying for power, and it's already ridiculously expensive. Mm-hmm. And that's without any representation, without the people having to vote, and without us having any say in it. So, to an extent, it's I just got goosebumps thinking about it, like how eerie yeah. these stories can be in terms of like just showing that yeah, it might be clones, it might be in space, it might be fake, but in within all that fakeness, there's a sad truth that like we have to reckon with and look ourselves in the mirror and be able to be like, oh, are we really just looking at these stories and leaving them on the TV screen, or are we actually like taking these stories and taking them to heart?
Oh, but remember, Star Wars is not political.
Oh no, never.
Has been.
It's not allowed. It's only pew pews and vrooms vrooms.
Yeah, we are all in shock that politicians are not involved. What?
Even though Papa George has very explicitly said that yeah. the prequel trilogy is about the Nixon administration.
I mean, the original trilogy is about literal Nazis.
Yeah. Have you seen Stormtroopers?
Yes. Right.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
They literally have the name of Stormtroopers. Yeah.
But I do. Like that's what I was like wondering about, because I'm mildly aware of that, and like even like when you do have representation, like sometimes it's not great. Like one of my state's representatives is Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Oh, that's Lord, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I Lord. Hate it.
Yeah,
what a heck. So great. And how ridiculous was she at the State of the Union? She was actually dressed as a supervillain. It's just like
she
that's
did.
Absurd.
She looked like she could have walked off the Austin Powers set.
Oh my God. And it's one of those weird things where it's just like the lack of decorum at this point from that side of the aisle. It's so telling of what their morals are. It's just like the president of the most powerful nation in the world, and you can't sit quiet for an hour and just listen to a speech and not clap, but at least respect the hall in which you're in. There's so many historical, I don't know. I am the first one to hate on the U.S. government and say that, you know, everything's corrupt and all those people don't serve the people and hidden interest and all those things. But but there's a beauty, right, to the Constitution and to the Capitol. And like, I think there's a mysticism, right, of what that represents, that it needs to be respected at least for an hour. I don't know. And to kind of have people just do that is kind of telling of where their mind is at. It's just like, it's performative.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
It's not actionable. It's performative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's exactly what we got from the Clone Wars in this episode. It was complete performance. It was theater.
It was.
And it brings everything full circle, really, because Palpatine was able to start his revolution to begin with, because there was so much corruption in the Republic already. And obviously corruption that he fomented and helped bloom. But it was because there was an innate corruption in it already. And to see how he has turned it completely into his own instrument, like first to get him elected as emperor and now to get everything he wants passed, until the point where it becomes completely obsolete. And then he just completely solves it in A New Hope, because, oh, it serves its purpose. I don't even need it anymore to like give even the theater that you guys have a voice. I got rid of it and kept going.
It's so good.
Once the empire became self-sustaining. I mean, it's so Palpatine. It's genius that he thought all these steps ahead.
Yeah, I always feel like he's kind of like, you know those like choose your own adventure novels where you'll get to a page and it's like, here's your five chance, like your five choices to go to the page. I feel that's what he is. So he has like a choice for like each direction that he wants to go.
Right. All the different scenarios planned on top of contingency plans.
Rampart succeeded. Go to page 43.
Like, oh yeah, I like that. That's true.
Yep.
But something I've actually been like speaking on, like the corruption of the Republic, I've been really impressed with how much like Tales of the Jedi has kind of like tied into a lot this season. So I'm actually really glad that this season got delayed actually after Andor and Tales of the Jedi. Like Andor felt like a nice like dinner, and Tales of the Jedi felt like a nice like wine, and now Bad Batch this season feels like the dessert. Like those three feel like they're really playing in a lot of synergy together.
Right.
Yeah. They're feeding into each other a lot. That makes just adds layers and layers to the stories that we're getting now that some of those gaps are getting filled, and it just makes the story way more richer. So just like you said, now you know we're on dessert with a little bit of coffee and just waiting for the rest of the season, because this just flipped the whole series on its head, and I have no idea what to expect now.
I have a question that I want to ask you guys. After last week's episode, which was the one with Gunji,
That
Tribe.
sweet, sweet boy.
So good. I have started coming around to the is Omega Force sensitive train, and the second episode opened with her meditating. And so what are your thoughts on that? Because I wasn't really digging it at first, because I'm just like, no, not everybody needs to be Force sensitive, but like they haven't really addressed it. But it would make sense because we know where they're going to the sequel trilogy, and we have to somehow describe how Palpatine returns.
Somehow Palpatine returned.
And I feel like so many of these shows, like Mando and this, is like trying to justify that line. So I'm starting to come around to it a little bit. I kind of like that she was meditating, and in this episode she tells Echo like it doesn't work for me the way it works for Gunji, and he said, well, he's a Jedi. So all that really says is she's not a Jedi, but it doesn't say that she's not Force sensitive, because something's working for her. And what are your thoughts on that?
I originally was with you. I wasn't on the Force sensitive train. I didn't like it. It's like, again, not everybody has to be Force sensitive. It's cool to have these characters that can handle themselves with blasters and ingenuity and all the strengths that they have separately and together. But it would actually make sense because of all the comments about her being like this superior clone, and why the technology to build her was like something special that needed to be hidden away. Her creator, I remember the cloner's name. It's not Lamassu, it's the other one that
Nala
was
Se. There
Nala Se, that was transported away, presumably maybe to like Palpatine's cloning facilities. So, and I would think it would maybe be unfair that clones don't get Jedi representation either. So it would make sense that a clone somewhere would be Force sensitive. So I do like that they're not leaning into it completely, and it doesn't seem like something that's going to happen from today to tomorrow, that they're slowly building it up as she meets all these different characters. She says that it doesn't work for her like it does for Gunji, but she still likes it because, you know, meditation is still good for you, even if you don't access the Force, you know, it brings you peace of mind. So we see her with Gunji like trying to communicate with the Force. So just these little kind of baby steps for her to discover who she really is. And if it turns out that she's Force sensitive, I will not be completely against it anymore. But I feel like it has to be something like this, that it's like a natural succession of things. It can't just suddenly be like, oh, I made something fly. So we'll see.
I know, I agree. Like, I've always been on the team that I think that she is Force sensitive precisely because of everything that Nani has said, and because the Empire, the Empire and the Kaminoan, well, I think only the Kaminoans actually, because she was secret, are making such an effort to get her back, insofar as, getting bounty hunters to retrieve her. And it's just like, I did never bought the whole, like, well, she's the last, actual clone from Django, so we need her for more. And she's like, that's not how cloning works. I mean, maybe, I mean, I'm not a scientist, but I'm pretty sure that's not how it works. So there has to
That's
be a
okay.
little.
Neither is Jennifer Corbett.
So who knows? I mean, Star Wars, anything can be whatever it wants to be. But I thought that there was a little bit more to her, especially once we see Mount Tantus. And I'm just like, okay, well. But at this point, I'm kind of 50-50 now. When I saw Mount Tantus, I was like, that Force sensitive. But now, but yeah, but now I think now I'm 50-50 because I think it might be a red herring. That it might lead to something of that sort. I do think that there will be some revelation about cloning at Mount Tantus that we will discover, and that Omega is somehow connected to that. I don't think it might necessarily mean that she herself is, because I think that's what they want us to think. So there's maybe going to be a bait and switch effort. But that's just me trying to kind of play. I'm trying to be Palpatine right now and play fifth dimensional chess to see if I can figure things out. But maybe it is as simple as she is force sensitive. But if she were, I definitely don't want her to wield the lightsaber. I want her to just be her own thing. I think that's something that we definitely miss.
With her bow and arrow. She's already badass enough with her weapon.
Because that's one of the cool things of High Republic, seeing like all the different types of Force users. Yeah. And we still need to see a little bit more of that in the animated stuff. And obviously live action.
Yeah, I'd be definitely down for that to have. Because like we have like the Night Sisters and the Lasats from Rebels who have their own views of the Force as well. And like they use the Force differently too. So I would definitely want Omega to have her own. The Nani's baby Grogu in the back just reminded me there is a wild theory going around that the Batch is going to save Grogu from Mount Tantus.
Oh, I've heard
that too. From Mount Tantus. I don't know how I feel about that.
I mean, I like that. How it interesting, because then they would have to connect Grogu's vision from Book of Boba Fett from Order 66 at the Jedi Temple. So that could be interesting, because I was assuming he got rescued by someone in the Jedi Temple, but that might be wild that they actually did kidnap him and he's been at Mount. Ooh, I like that. That might be cool.
Though my co-podcaster just came up with the most like morbid explanation of Snoke, because we're going through Obi-Wan
a failed Grogu clone.
We're going through Obi-Wan Kenobi right now over in Jagas and Jedi. And we got to the scene of the tomb on Fortress Inquisitorius, and he is like, so essentially they're all there because they're just pulling DNA from them. Like, because if this was being used to actually intimidate people, it'd be out open in public. But essentially they're all
somewhere
on
in a basement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I was like, oh, that's where all the Snokes came from in the midichlorians. And no.
Well, anyway, before we keep doing no things, I think we should talk about how satisfying Rampart's demise was.
Yes, I agree. Because before we started recording, we were talking a little bit about warming our thoughts up before we started the discussion. One of the things that we mentioned was how vanilla and boring white guy Rampart has been. And I was always skeptical of him being like the big bad, like the actual foil of the Batch, because I'm like, oh, this guy is boring as hell. He's no Tarkin.
Even though he started becoming like slightly more interesting in the season.
He did, especially much, when he kills that clone in the, was it the first episode? And he kills that clone. Yeah. I'm just like, okay, well, maybe he's kind of bad, but still boring. but to see my man get his comeuppance and to see him get betrayed by the system that he's so... blindly serves. I'm just like, poetic justice. So take him away.
What did you think, Hope?
So first of all, Rampart has always been about as interesting as a piece of bread.
Correct.
He
white bread, not the fancy stuff.
Not even that. Yeah, like the whitest of white bread that you can like buy at Dollar General. Not even like artisan bread, and he. He was always just fine. Like, you know, it wasn't so good. He's not a great big bad. He was no Tarkin or Thrawn or even a Callus of anything.
My
and
boy
then
Callus.
You're right, he started getting a little bit more interesting, but never anything great. But when he started like killing clones and like not letting Crosshair finish his meals and being a jerk. I was all here for this episode of like Mos Amita coming up and just being like, I'm gonna bully you. And he's like, I'm fine, I'll get it done. He's like, get it done. And it's just like two straight episodes of like Mos Amita bullying him. And I'm just yes, kick the little man while he's down. He's so pathetic. Yeah. And then Palpatine comes up and Palpatine's like, everyone glorious. Bully them parts right now. And then all the clones come out. And it's the clones that he's trying to decommission. And they're the ones arresting him. And I'm just like, oh, this is the best Schadenfreude going on right now.
Yes.
It's so sweet watching it. And his face, like just the face of just like the comeuppance. It's just.
Yeah. Just the facial expression. Like I never saw this coming, and then his I was just following orders, dude. Really?
Now, though, this is where I think he could get really interesting, because now, because he's been thrown under that bus
And
and
has nothing
been,
else to lose.
yeah, like I could see him switching sides and
Interesting.
pulling a Tua and just being like, I have so much dirt, bad batch. Like,
Interesting, but if he does that, I see him doing it a la Hux, where he doesn't really care about the rebellion. He only is
yeah.
doing it to get back at the Empire. I don't
And it
see him
would.
being callous, where he's actually, I have a change of heart. I'm gonna have sexy hair now.
He calls Cross. Oh, but Crosshair might actually kill him, because he'd be like, oh, I'll just, if you're a traitor now, then I'll just kill you.
Sweet,
So,
sweet revenge.
oh, it would be yeah, that would be actually a really crazy storyline of Rampart trying to get Crosshair to bust him out
And then Crosshair
because of
just
all
killing
that.
him because he didn't
Being
follow
like,
orders.
nope,
Yeah.
not today.
Not today.
Yeah, that would be really weird. But then with Rampart getting arrested, like, then where do we go from here? Like, with a big bad, because he really, it was so much fun to watch, but he was the baddie of the show. So where are we going now? Because they haven't really set up like another bad guy on the side.
I mean, this is a random thought, and I'm only saying it because this is one of my favorite characters, and it kind of makes sense. It's crazy. But what if it's, I know this is left field, but get ready. What if it's Thrawn? It's Thrawn. We already saw him in Rebels. We already saw Mount Tantiss. We were setting him up for Ahsoka. And people are saying that this is kind of like a soft adaptation of Heir to the Empire. And we know that Thrawn was very heavily involved with Mount Tantiss. So it's just like, okay, well, I'm coming in to finish, the job. It's crazy. It's crazy. But maybe it's that synergy, like live action, animation, novels, boom.
I don't think it's too crazy. The only thing I don't know is if the timelines match up with the Thrawn novel. That's the
You're
only
right.
thing I.
You're absolutely right.
Now, if Bad Batch went for like 3 seasons, I could see that, like 3 to 4 season, and there's another time jump. But I'm trying to remember, because
No, you're right.
when he
Because
meets
when he,
Eli.
there's already stormtroopers and TIE fighters and stuff, so I think you're right. It's after, well, yeah,
I
because
don't know.
it takes
This
him a
is.
while to become Grand Admiral. Oh, maybe we do see a younger Thrawn when he's like a,
But
captain or some crap.
at the same time, like, when he's in exile, if they run into Thrawn while he's in exile and he's his beautiful long hair, like wild man, muscly man self, I'd be down for that.
Who wouldn't?
But oh God, what was he gonna say? I
Muscle-bound
love.
Thrawn with long hair.
I love that comic with him and long hair. I forgot what I was gonna say. I got distracted by Thrawn's hotness because I was thinking about
Well, we were saying like who might replace Rampart as like the now the
I mean,
next
I would
level
be
of the
okay
chain,
with
right?
Tarkin because he kind of already showed up. He's a well-established character. I know, it wouldn't be the best thing, but it wouldn't be a character that you would have to set up from scratch. And Rampart clearly was set up to be the scapegoat from the beginning, because he's the one that like proposed the Stormtrooper bill. He's the one that was, had to destroy Kamino. He's the one that went through all this process. So, I mean, he was definitely set up to be a scapegoat. So there was somebody, obviously Palpatine at the very top, but there had to be an intermediary there between them. So I think it's going to be either Tarkin or somebody else in a similar position, that now that we got rid of your scapegoat, okay, this one's the one that's gonna actually be the bad guy.
I kind of like scrunched up my face a little bit, because I had this weird idea of like, what if they actually thrust Crosshair into the big bad? And but I don't know if I like that story. Like they're just like, you were working with Rampart and a lot of his stuff. Do you want his job? But I don't know how interesting Crosshair as like sitting behind the desk and doing things would be.
I mean, it could be something along those lines, because in that first episode we saw that assassin clone that didn't have like his chain code or whatever it's called.
I have
So
some
there is a
thoughts about
mystery.
that.
There's
Oh, yeah.
a mystery there, right? Of like where he
Yeah.
comes from. And
I'm a
obviously
believer.
he's a clone, so there
Yeah.
it's plausible to think that there's more of him. Well, not him, but more of his kind out there. So is there
Which is
like
crazy, because it's
a
like
secret cabal
indoctrination,
of
chip, and now like extra cult into like everything else that they
exactly
did to these poor clones. Like,
like a super
really?
evil cabal of like assassin clones? This is like
I saw someone, I think it was Screen Crush, and they had the theory of what
Yeah.
if there's a whole side batch of clones that were made just for, to serve the Sith?
The Sith. I saw that too.
And so that's why he is like a believer.
A
But
believer, yeah.
actually, like what caught me, because the way that his helmet is, it has kind of like the side things and then it goes around the back, and they couldn't, you know, and it reminded me of like the Lobot kind of things that they had in Star Wars Rebels. Because they had that one episode of Rebels where people like gave up their autonomy to serve the Empire, and they had that. So I'm wondering if they were just doing like the early testing for that, because that's still like 13-ish years out from using that, because
So that
SIBO
would
had it as
fit.
well. But I do kind of
I
like the
dig
crazy bongers theory of like they're Sith clones. I kind of love
it.
that. I'd actually rather have that than like, oh, we're testing the Lobot technology. No, give me like bonkers crazy Sith clones. I'm all down for that.
I'm all for that, yeah.
I dig it. It's just like it's crazy. It's just like
Bad
I just
Batch on
give you crazy. I see,
Exegol.
that's the thing. That's the thing. I am not, I've said it many times on the podcast, and I don't like to talk about it often because we're all about, having fun and enjoying the things we enjoy
This is new for me.
and not engaging with the things that we don't enjoy as much. But I am not the biggest fan of The Rise of Skywalker.
Me neither.
That being said, Exegol is awesome. Like when we get to that planet in that first scene and we see the inverted pyramid, I'm just like, this is cool. This is cool. Why did we have to hide it under a bunch of like smoke and blue filters? Because I want to see the beautiful desolation of like this destroyed Sith planet. So this could be a good opportunity to kind of explore that a little bit more with our weird rogue Sith cultist clones. We're calling it
So, I
now.
think Hope has an idea here.
So here I figured out. This is the rest of Bad Batch season two. Here we go. They're going to go on a
You heard
ship.
it here first.
They're going to get their ship and then go and pick up Thrawn in exile with his long, beautiful, muscly hair. His hair is muscles now. So muscly, his hair
It's
has
Star Wars.
muscles.
We can do it.
And then they're going to be like, "Hey, Thrawn." He's like, "What's up? What can I do for you?" And he's like, "Our friend Echo. We're picking up Rex and Echo now too, because we got to get the gang back together." And they kidnap Crosshair, and then they all go to Exegol, and they find this huge, the clone conspiracy where all these like Sith clones are, and Omega's just like, "This is doing things to me because I'm Force sensitive." And then Gunji kicks in the door, and then they defeat Palpatine, and then nothing ever happens because they save the day. That's what
That's
it
it.
is.
That's what
And
it
that's how they re retcon the sequel trilogy.
Yep. And the original trilogy and everything after it, but that's fine. We're gonna beat
I dig
Palpatine.
it.
Yeah.
Already
I
been
dig
defeated by Omega and
it.
Gunji.
And then like a time hole, the world between worlds open, and Ezra comes out. No, it can't be Ezra. He doesn't have a show coming. It's got to be Ahsoka. Ahsoka comes out and she's like, "I'm sorry, I have to stop all of you. You're gonna wreck all of Star Wars.
Right, I have a
Also,
show.
go watch my show on Disney Plus." And everybody goes, "What's a Disney Plus?" And she's like, "Don't worry about it. No one f will remember you once Mando season three starts." And then they
I
all
like
go
it.
back. They drop off Thrawn, and he's like, "See you in Ahsoka. I'm here for product placement. My hair is a muscle." And then they go back to their lives,
My hair's a muscle.
and then they just go back. That's the rest of the season. That's how it's gonna go.
I dig it. I dig it. I dig it.
The end.
And then at the end, it's just instead of Bad Batch, it's just called What If, the Luke symbol.
Actually, low
Backdoor
key,
pilot.
you know, like Star Wars Visions kind of did this to me. I low key would love a Star Wars What If
Yes,
show,
100%.
like a what if Anakin didn't die, like stuff like that. Like, oh, I would
What
low
if
key love
Qui-Gon
that.
didn't die? It's like a whole bunch of those things.
Oh.
It's there's or what if like Leia had been chosen instead of Luke? Like there's so many like really cool
Oh,
possibilities
what if
of
Maul
what
was
you know.
found by the Jedi before Palpatine?
Ooh, well, I like kind of like him being bad though.
I do too, but
Still,
for like
it's
an
always nice to
episode of
get
a what if.
true,
true,
different
true.
perspectives are good too, because you don't know.
That very true. I do like
Well, I think
our
before we
alternate
start
theory.
wrapping up, because I think we've covered a lot, we need to talk about our baby Echo.
That's yes. Broke
I
my
did.
heart.
That was definitely an, "I'm not crying, you're crying." No, I'm not crying, you're crying.
I didn't see that coming. What did you think, Hope?
I didn't see it coming, but once it happened, it made so much sense for his
It did.
character. And there's actually like I realized a little foreshadowing earlier in the episode, Because when he's talking to Omega, he said, she asked, like, oh, is that why you joined the batch? And he said, this is where I thought I was needed, where I thought I fit in. And he's speaking in past tense, like he uses the word was. And it's so this is clearly a thought that he's already been thinking about for a while. And from episode one, he's never been down for being a mercenary. He's always wanted to go fight and help everything. He's always wanted to go out and do this. And it's what he's always been done. Like, it's always been done. It's always been what he's been wanting to do is to go out and fight. So I wasn't expecting it, but when it happened, it really makes sense for his character. But I don't think he's gonna be gone too long. Like, I can see them doing like what Sabine did in Rebels, where she was only gone for a few episodes on Mandalore, and then they'll bring him back. But I do think it's gonna be a catalyst for sure. I think all the rest of the batch are just gonna be like, we're kind of flopping around doing nothing. Okay, sorry. The other side of this, especially because of Cid. Because in episode one, Cid tells Hunter, eventually the Empire's gonna come for us and this operation's gonna be done. And then in Faster, she's yelling at them about wasting her power and she's sending them on multiple missions trying to make money. So it's very clear she's trying to like
Like
pinch
consolidate
pennies,
whatever that she
like
can
whatever
get.
money she can get. And so I could see like them for another episode or two. It's gonna end with Cid. They're like Cid's gonna leave, or like they're gonna leave her, and that business is gonna end, and all they're gonna have left is whatever Echo's doing with Rex. And so I do think it's they've been setting it up all season that it's gonna end with Cid. They're gonna have to do this, and then with Echo ahead of them, he's already set them up for being like, hey, come hang out with like me, Trace, Rafa, and Rex, and Bail Organa, I guess, and maybe Rio. So, but yeah, I loved it. I loved the choice. I did not see it coming. And Echo and Omega's little hug wrecked
And he
me.
was like so surprised. He was like, oh, she's hugging you. I'll hug you back.
Hunter is dad, Echo is mom, and that was the neatest divorce I ever seen in my life.
Oh, you're right, though. You're
He's
absolutely
the
right.
mom energy. Like, he really is. Like, he is like, I have to keep everything together. And Hunter's just like, I'm gonna keep everything together, but in a fun way.
And I mean, it was so heartbreaking because you kind of see it from Omega's point of view, where everybody else is kind of saying goodbye to Echo, and Omega's like, wait, what's happening? And it makes so much sense with what you were saying, like it's parents getting divorced, the kid is the last one to know. And it was kind of like, well, good luck with your next endeavors. We know this is a good match for you, everything, everything. And Omega's here, it's like,
Have fun with
what?
your new boyfriend when you get
What? What are you talking about?
I did
And
realize though that they never had a chance to tell her because she was I think he has been thinking about it for a while, but I don't think he made a decision until Rex was there and Rex was like, I need help saving clones. And then they
And when
were like
he's
running to the
like, we're
Senate
spread
and
thin,
stuff.
we're really trying, but there's only so much I can do. I kind of thought for a second that the entire batch was gonna join, but I think it'd be too soon.
Not yet,
One,
man.
because I feel like Rex would overpower the whole thing because, it's Rex.
It's Rex.
And also because they do still have like these commitments with Cid and I forget the Treasure Hunter name's
B.
character.
Oh, Fee.
So we set up those characters. We've set up the whole like Cid isn't trustworthy thing arc that we kind of have to finish off. So it wouldn't make sense for them to all leave for helping Rex, but it does make sense because this whole time, with the using the stun blasters because they don't want to hurt their fellow brother clones. Now knowing that there's more of them that are trying to defect, I think eventually they are going to be more involved in everything that's going on beyond their little circle, but it's going to be rough with Hunter at the helm because he's still very much, we need to survive, we need to stay hidden, we need to stay under the radar, and they need to evolve beyond that because they have a strength that the galaxy needs right now. So I hope that
That's kind of the thing though. I think Cid's the radar, and that radar is close to being turned off, so you can't be under it if it's gone.
Agreed. It was, I
Especially
mean,
if they start targeting her and then start targeting them through her because everybody thinks they're dead. And then if they target her and.
I think the Riot Racing is going to come back to bite them because
Oh, it
Tech was
probably is.
very,
100%.
very publicly just being like, hi, I want a race.
And I didn't even try to change my name, and I'm clearly a clone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I do think that's like what's gonna come back to bite them, but the radar is ending soon. This is a dumb
Yes, I
metaphor.
agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
But it was still very cool to see kind of Echo's story, just because it's so sad when that whole mission to rescue him, we thought Echo was dead, and then going through all that pain and torture and everything, and when he leaves, he feels like he can't join the 501st again because he's so broken that he doesn't feel like he belongs. And then he finds the group of misfits who are the Bad Batch. And the fact that now he's ready to like rejoin Rex and this mission means that he has healed himself through the family that he's made with the Batch. So he's found renewed purpose, but I don't think he's gonna forget his bonds to the Batch either. Like he'll always be a part of it. And we're gonna see that evolve as they kind of go their separate ways a little bit and then come together towards the end for some whatever epic battles coming.
Climactic battle at Exegol.
Exegol. With Thrawn's muscle hair, it's fine.
Yep, he's
It's
just gonna, the hair is just
fantastic.
gonna be whipping everybody.
The hair's gonna flex.
Yep, just muscles over here. There's two ponytails and just flexing.
Just imagine like Pippi Longstocking, but
But
Thrawn.
him all serious. That's the thing. Like he's just gonna be
Yeah.
serious, as you know. Thrawn never smiles, and the hair is just like Pippi Longstocking.
Someone draw it. Someone out there with more
Please, somebody
artistic
with talent,
ability.
draw that.
But yeah, I so it's interesting that you were saying that like Echo has healed through the Bad Batch, but I don't know if the Batch has fully healed themselves from like
Right,
losing
exactly.
Crosshair and everything. And I do think this is the jump they need to finally grow. There's actually been a big lack of Wrecker this season. Like he's just been kind of there. But I feel like we might have like a Wrecker episode coming along the way. But really, the Batch really needs to grow. And sometimes the best way to grow, as much as I hate to say it, is through trauma and the rug being pulled out from under you. And I feel like Echo leaving is he was him and Omega are like the moral compasses of like this is the right thing to do. And when it starts falling on Omega, she's also still a child, and mom is not there to support her. And so I think the Batch are gonna have a rude awakening very soon.
I agree. Are you now? There's two questions, two pronged questions based on what you just said. Are you on team Crosshair Redemption? Or do you think he's gonna stay a villain or antagonist or whatever we want to call it?
I am still very much on the fence about that. I think when it comes to Crosshair's story, he's not ready to change yet. There's a YouTuber that I like called Cinema Therapy, and they have
Oh yeah,
this,
I've seen them.
and then they have the saying that they say is the pain, people don't change until the pain of staying the same outweighs the trouble of changing.
Ooh.
And
That
right
whoa,
now
that was
to
deep.
right
Holy
and right
shit.
now the pain of staying the same is not great enough for him to change. Because and I do think he has this purposeless his purpose is different from the rest of them, because like Hunter is a tracker, Tech's the smart one, Wrecker's the strong one, and their talents can be used in ways to help people. His talent is killing. He's the sniper. And so I just don't think he knows his place yet outside of that. And what is his place if he can't kill? And he's not ready to explore that side of who am I when I'm not my purpose. The rest of the Batch has already been doing that all the season. Like that's the point of like Faster and Entombed. Like that is them exploring that, but Crosshair's not there yet. And I do think he is the one who was actually affected by the chip. So I think he has to work through that trauma as well. This is a very long way of saying, I don't know. I feel like Bad Batch would make a very good 3-season show, and I would love season 2 to end with him starting to change, but not fully yet.
Not there
And
yet, yeah.
season 3 kind of working through that, because that was my one thing that I really hated about the Kallus arc in Rebels, is he changes and then he's just gone and we don't get to see him do the work of redemption, because you're
Right, good
not
point.
just magically redeemed. Like, you have to
Atone.
you have to atone. Redemption and atonement are two very different things. And I would love to see a season of Crosshair atoning, like him leaving the Empire at the end of second season, and the third season is him behind the scenes helping the Batch from afar to atone.
I like that. I like
And
that.
Work up to it, because I think there's some shame too. Like, he chose to leave his brother
yeah.
like three times now. And
exactly.
The grass is not greener and he's alone. So I think there's a lot of pride, there's a lot of shame, and there's a lot of not knowing who he is. And until he overcomes the first two and figures out the third, he can't redeem or atone. So this is a very
like
long
that.
Way of saying I'm kind of half and half.
I like that. No, but I like it. It's better. It's definitely better than just a binary yes or no. Definitely, we prefer our nuance up in here.
I don't think every character needs to atone, but I feel like Crosshair would be a very interesting thing of, he never becomes a good guy, but he could always stay like a gray protagonist. And I think that would be really interesting for him to not be a full good guy.
I can see that.
Like a Ventress.
Second question. Do you think someone in the Batch is going to bite the dust?
Oh, I don't want that. No. No.
We kind of have a Deadpool going.
We have a Deadpool going.
You know, somebody brought up to me, like, what if they're focusing on Tech so much this season because they're going to kill him? And I will literally do nothing because it's a TV show, but be very sad with my cat. I would just, like, pick up my cat and just, like, stick her to my face and, like, cry to my cat.
And your cat's like, what's going on?
And then probably have, like, a very big tweet on Twitter of just being like, if Tech dies, then I will do nothing because it's fictional and I will be big mad all by myself. No,
which is fair.
It's hard to say, because honestly, if I think anybody would die, as much as I really hate this, but it's such a Star Wars thing, is they probably would make Crosshair redeem and then kill him. I hate that.
A la Kylo? Ugh.
Right.
A la, like, everybody who's ever atoned. I hate that. That's why I find it so much. You know, to quote Hamilton, dying is easy, living is harder. And killing characters is easy, but actually letting them work through their bullshit is harder. And that's actually way more interesting. Like, Vader would have been fascinating if he wasn't like, I'm magically good and now I'm dead. And Kylo, and like, these things would be fascinating to watch. But I feel like the easiest character to kill off would be Crosshair. That is where my Deadpool would lie. I just don't... I'm very scared for Tech, because everyone's like, oh, look at him getting developed. And I just feel like that'd be an easy kill. But
Tech
I
is
hope,
safe. He's
I
safe in this
so.
House.
I hope so. He's my baby, and I want to see him be a racer more, because that was really sexy, and I just want to, you know, ride in his car with him. And him be like, hey, you want to go to the malt shop? And I'm like, Tech, I don't think those exist anymore. And he's like, we'll find one.
He's like, I know one.
Yeah. I got gotcha.
Yeah. And then
I got the hookup.
Be cute little aces together in the mall shop, not doing anything but being lovely companions.
It'll happen because he's
this is
safe.
A weird show. Sorry.
We're saving him.
We
we're saving
it.
Him in this place. Yeah. Don't worry, our Deadpool. Well, no.
What's your Deadpool?
You
I'm,
this,
I'm,
this
I'm
is
curious.
Our Deadpool.
I'm curious. What's your
then
Deadpool?
We have the same. I think we have the same.
So
one.
Far, we have Hunter in the lead.
Yeah, Hunter. I'm just like, yeah, kill that guy. Yeah. I'm okay with it. Get rid of him. Yes.
It would be a really big emotion. Though he's kind of taken a really big back seat this season.
Yeah.
Thankfully, but, yeah.
Yeah, I am happy for it.
And
but...
I think he's shown the least development, and I think he would be the most replaceable, honestly. So, I don't
just,
know.
They just put Rex there.
Right? That's what we're saying.
Right. Yes, he's discount, he's bargain bin, is it Rex? With the face tattoo, which granted is awesome, but
yeah.
Come on.
No, I wouldn't even insult Rex that much. Rex is way more interesting.
That's no, true. That's true.
I agree.
I like Hunter,
Rex all day.
But Rex's first husband, like he's on my ankle as a tattoo. Like, he's first husband.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So
definitely.
okay, but
I'm right.
we're killing Hunter. But I mean, this has been an incredible discussion. I think we've hit like everything there is to hit. I mean, obviously you've been on a lot of really interesting and joyful tangents. But before we wrap up, Hope, why don't you tell everyone where they can find you? We know you have a lot of projects and you're a contributor in a bunch of other places. So why don't you tell people where everything's at so they can find all your wonderful work?
Oh Lord, I am really everywhere. Well, first of all, thank you for having me. This has been a lot of fun. Gosh, oh, my brain just shut off. Well, there's For Light and Dice. Like I talked about at the top of the show, I'm very proud of that project, and we're having a lot of fun over there. And again, it's a Star Wars real play tabletop podcast. We're rolling dice and going on adventures. And it's an all queer cast, so we're having a good time. My other podcast is Jay Guys and Jedi, which we are going on year 8 of.
Oh,
And
congratulations.
very cool.
thank you, thank you. We had this kind of like realization that we're coming up on year 10, which is crazy. So if you want to hear me just be raunchy and gross and awesome and yelling about my blue husbando, who is Thrawn, and my grande boyfriend, who is a Grand Inquisitor, with my friend Chris, for over 350 episodes talking about Star Wars TV. We've been doing that over there. We've done pretty much all the shows except for like Andor in season 2 of Bad Batch. Like we're in Kenobi right now, but we've done all the other shows. What else do I do? I'm a staff writer for the Geeky Waffle, where I do a lot of animation, and I'm doing the Bad Batch reviews over there. I'm a contributor for Dork Side of the Force, and I write for them. I'm the mod for Pink Milk most Wednesdays when I actually
Oh, shit.
finish
Right,
my when I
right.
actually finish my deadlines. I'm in Pink Milk.
The Steam Queens over there. Oh, yeah. Having a good time.
So yeah, that's kind of where I'm doing stuff.
Not busy at all, not even a little
Not
bit.
busy at all.
And then I write fan fiction on AO3, and I written a lot of Star Wars fan fiction, though my friend has captured me in the world of Anne Rice vampires, so I've been writing a lot of vampire fanfic
Oh, crap.
recently.
That's awesome.
So
So cool.
yeah, but I have a High Republic fic that I've been working on 2 years about the adventures of Loden and Bell as Master and Padawan and how they met, and it's gonna
Loden, come too
end.
soon.
You want to see me like really get like hot and heavy? Let me talk about Loden Greatstorm. I did write the first Loden smut on 803, and I'm very proud of that. Oh,
Oh,
and it is smutty. It is smutty, and I'm proud of that. But yeah, it's the story of them from how they met, and it's gonna end like when they're leaving for Elfrana to
Oh.
and for Tales of the for
Light of
what
the
is the
Jedi.
book?
Light
Yeah,
of the
that
Jedi.
one. That one. I was about to say Tales of the
Yeah,
Jedi.
that
That's
one.
not right.
It's a
But
different Jedi story.
Yeah, I'm kind of busy. I'm just
It
busy
sounds
as
like it,
well,
but
but
it sounds like a whole bunch
you're
of fun
enjoying
though.
it. Yeah.
I do. I love it. I love it. Pay me more, people.
Pay her more, goddammit. Pay her more.
And
We'll
here's
leave
my
links in
PayPal
the
and
just below.
Ko-fi and
Nah.
blah blah blah.
Just pay me, I'll do it.
Just put the QR code on the screen. People just send the money. Send the money
I
immediately.
mean, I don't know how to do that. So.
Well, at
We'll
least
figure it
leave all
out.
the
We'll
links
figure it out.
where people can find you below.
But
Well,
hey, do you guys have cool places where people can find you?
I don't know if they're cool places. They are
I think
places
they're
that
cool places.
they're places. Some of them are being destroyed as we speak. We're definitely
Which
on the
that's very
Twitterverse
true,
first.
actually.
But actually, why am I saying that? This is your part, actually.
Hope, thank you so much for joining us. This has been fantastic. What a great conversation. I love somebody who loves some animation and Star Wars as well and has extra funny things to say. You can find us in random social media like Twitter, YouTube, Facebook. What's the new one?
Hive, even though there's no one there anymore.
Oh, didn't
Okay.
everyone
Everybody
jump
left.
ship from Hive, really?
Well, it's weird. It's weird because like Hive was, I remember when Hive was a thing, everyone jumped into Hive and it was beautiful for a couple of weeks. It was just like the best of the Star Wars community and it was all positivity. And then they shut down the servers for like a couple of days and that just absolutely killed it. And then everyone just jumped
Yeah.
right back into Twitter. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Twitter's self-destructing right now, so maybe we'll jump back to Hive. Who
Yep,
knows? So.
apparently the new Zelda trailer broke Twitter for a while there, so
Oh,
good.
wow.
So we're there, so we'll see, you know, everywhere.
You don't need to see the trailer. Just play Zelda. You don't need the trailer. Play it with or without the trailer.
No, no, you don't understand. I was waiting all day for that trailer.
See, Nani, unlike you, yeah. Unlike you, most of us like the trailers.
My little fandom Triforce is Star Wars, Pokemon, and Zelda. So that's my fandom Triforce. So don't even.
I've played every single Zelda game, and I love it, but I don't need the trailer because I'm going to.
Yeah, you're going to buy it.
Anyway. Yeah. Yeah, but I want to see them.
Understandable.
They're babies.
Yeah, I'm so excited for Zelda. Okay, so yeah, so you can find us anywhere that podcasts can be found. Just search Shrine of the Force and we will be there. Remember to like, subscribe, leave a comment. We have the Bad Batch Deadpool going on. Hunter is in the lead right now, but you can let us know what you think. And until next time, may the Force be with you.